Thank you, Lord, once again for the power of your presence. Thank you, Lord, for just the beauty and fellowship, Lord, the sweet aroma from your sweet Holy Spirit that's in this place. Thank you, Lord, for restoration and reconciliation and building, Lord, building our lives on the rock and not on the sand. Thank you for the power of fellowship, Lord, the healing that's taken place through your spirit, through the power of fellowship, Lord, and the power of your love. So we ask that you would speak to us through your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, and fallen world. God, we need your word more today than we did last Sunday, Lord. Give us insight. Give us discernment, Lord. Let it jump off the page, jump into our hearts. And then let us live it, Lord. Let us apply it to our life. Let our light shine. Let us be salt. Let us be a witness to the power, the glory, and the goodness of God, Lord, to those that are searching. So we bless you and we thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Exodus 31. So this morning we'll be talking about a little bit about the old covenant, and then we'll get into the new covenant, and we'll take communion, and then we will dismiss. Amen. So here we are in the 10th month. It's hard to believe that we're 10 months into the new year, but we are. And it's the first Sunday of the 10th month, 10 being a number in God's numerology of order. Excuse me. So I guess God would be speaking to us. Get things in order as you finish the year. Well, maybe God's speaking to me, Carter. Get things in order as you finish the year. Get your house in order. Get your life in order. Get your prayer life in order. Your study life. Get everything in order to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage the family to continue to get into the Proverbs daily. For those of us who took the challenge last month, here we are this month, and there were new insights this morning in Proverbs 4, as well as in Proverbs 3. Yesterday, amen, I challenge you, sacrifice the time, make the sacrifice to get into the word so God can give you the discernment, the wisdom, the ability to live skillfully. Amen. Amen. Men, we do have a meeting after service. I was able to send out a message last night to most of you. I don't have everybody's number, but all men, we're going right to the conference room right after service. We have continental breakfast, and ladies, I'm only going to keep them 30 minutes and then we'll be out of here. Men, that's every man in here. Every man, my musicians, everybody, every man that's in here. All right. All right. Amen. Okay. Did I say Exodus 31?
Yes.
Look at verse 12. We'll start there. Check out what's happening in 31 and 12. And we went over this in Bible study, and it was so powerful, I wanted to add to it. Amen? Especially with this being the first Sunday. Also, remember, I'm challenging us all to come out to Bible study at least once a month. You don't have to be there every Wednesday. It would be nice if you could be there every Wednesday, but give us once a month. Amen? Amen. And the same thing with the men and the women in the morning, once a month. It would be nice if you could be there every morning, every Sunday morning, but at least once a month. As we finish the year, let's make an attempt to do that. Exodus 31 and 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify, set you apart, consecrate you. Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth or contaminated or profane it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from his people. Verse 15, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of the rest. Holy to the Lord, whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Verse 16, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Verse 18, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him, underline he was communing with him, the same way God wants to commune with us. God desires to commune with his people upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Wow. So the original covenant was the Sabbath. Now we have the New Testament, which is through the blood of Jesus Christ. But the original covenant was the Sabbath. You could even, we talked about, you don't have to really get too deep with people. Just ask them, and Brother Stan had shared, he had asked a guy that last week, what atonement do you have for your sins? And the guy said, I just want to know what you believe. So you can't, that's a deep but powerful question. And you could just ask somebody, why are there 7 days in a week? Why not 8? Why not 14? Why not 30 days in a week? Just ask them, why are there 7 days in a week? Because there's 7 days in a week. Why? Because that's the original covenant with God. And God created everything in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. I mean, we don't have to get too deep with this when we're reaching out to folks. Why are there 7 days in a week? Because there's 7 days in a week. Right. You need to research that. You need to find out. If you don't do anything else, we can get to the deeper things later, but just find out why there's 7 days in a week. So God establishes a covenant, and he has the death penalty for those who break the covenant. Somebody say, thank God for the new covenant. They had a death penalty. God instituted the death penalty for breaking the Sabbath. But remember, God has placed his hand on everything. So he's left his imprint. So people can't say, well, I didn't know there was a God. Well, actually, yeah, because it's 7 days in a week. And why do you think we rest on one day? Whether it's Saturday or Sunday, some people celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday, others celebrate on Sunday. It doesn't matter when you celebrate it. It's that you celebrate it. Jesus tells us, turn very quickly to Mark 2:27. Jesus tells us why it doesn't matter in Mark 2:27. Back then, the covenant was just for the Jews, but in 2:27 and 2:28, he said unto them, the Sabbath was not made for, the Sabbath was made for man, which means mankind. So it's not a particular people that celebrates the Sabbath. It's made for mankind and not man for the Sabbath. Man didn't create God. God created man. Man didn't create the Sabbath. God created the Sabbath for mankind. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Jesus said, we created the Sabbath, but I'm Lord of the Sabbath. So when whatever day you celebrate Jesus, you're in good company because he's Lord of the Sabbath. So don't get caught up on the day. Some people made a whole doctrine out of the day. It's not about the day. It's about who's Lord of the Sabbath. It's not the Sabbath day. It's who's the Lord of it. And so then here is, that's the Old Testament. Now as we start moving into the New Testament, Jesus is trying to get them to see that things have become new. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. It's right after 1 Corinthians. Amen. 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That man is the same thing, same word in the Greek, mankind, which means man and woman. If any person be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So now that we're in Christ, we are under the new covenant and not the old covenant. And so since we're in Christ and all things have become new, then that means we do have a choice on how we live our life. Some people say, well, I don't have a choice. This is, my mama was like this. My daddy was like this. I was born like this. And Christ says, stop that right there. Cut out the excuses. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So it boils down to, you and I want to change. We have a choice. We're not painted in the corner. We can get out. And Jesus makes this very plain. And let's go to our text today. John chapter 5. Jesus said, Paul told us, don't grieve the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4:30. Stop stressing the Holy Spirit out. Jesus said, you're a new creature. You can change. You don't have to be that way. Jesus has given us the power to be free. Who the Son makes free is free indeed. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. The problem is we're trying to improve ourselves where God is trying to replace us. I'm trying to improve, but God said, I want to replace you with the Holy Spirit. I want you to be Christ-like. Well, I'm not going to come to church because I got to get myself together. That is the wrong, tell them right off, that's the wrong way to think. Because you're trying to improve yourself and God's trying to replace you. You need to get there so you can get replaced, not improved. And you're not going to replace yourself sitting at home. It's not going to happen. Too much going on at home to try and get replaced. So here we go. I love this story. Verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and the Lord went up to Jerusalem. In verse 4:54, it talks about how Jesus just came from Galilee to Jerusalem. He had to make that trek from Galilee to Jerusalem to be there for the Feast of the Jews. He made a sacrifice to get there to fellowship with his Jewish brothers. Sometimes you got to make the sacrifice and you got to get there despite the trip, despite the journey, despite the things that's going on. Jesus made the sacrifice. You and I, sometimes we need to make the sacrifice. Sometimes if it's not convenient for us, then it's like, nah, I'm cool. If God can't conveniently fit into my schedule, I'm not going to make the sacrifice. And he had to get there to straighten some things out to save those that were lost, not to condemn. Remember, I believe it's John 3:17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Because verse 1 tells us it was a problem because there was the Feast of the Jews. Make a note that in Leviticus 23:2 and Deuteronomy 16:15, it's called the Feast of the Lord. But now it's the Feast of the Jews. It's like after a while, it becomes your thing. You know what I'm saying? Oh, this is my church. I thought it was Jesus' church. After a while, it becomes your thing. This is my body. I do what I want to do with it. Well, I thought you were the temple of God. But after a while, it becomes your thing. Hey, you're upset at Christmas time because you didn't get a gift and it wasn't even your birthday. It becomes about you. And at Easter, you're into bunnies and chocolate and eggs. And you know bunnies don't even lay eggs. They're mammals. It becomes your thing.
After a while, it becomes about you. So Jesus had to get here because it wasn't the feast of the Jews. It's the Lord's feast. But now it's their feast. So it gets cloudy after a while. You'll be sitting at home and it's about you all the time. And you get out of fellowship and you got to stay close. Otherwise, you lose perspective. So here we go, because I'm going to talk too much. Let me get into it. All right. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongues Bethesda, having five porches. So here we are. He gets to the pool of Bethesda, which is really an interesting place. When we were there, you see the different pools and all this other kind of stuff. A very interesting place. But it's also called the pool of pity or the pool of mercy. It has five porches, and we know the number of five meaning grace. So you got the pool of pity, you got the pool of mercy, you got grace there. It sounds like a setup for God. And the sheep are there. And here comes the shepherd of all shepherds for the real sheep. But they did keep actual sheep there as well. So you got symbolism going on. You got the comparisons going on. And then in verse 3 it says, and there lay a great multitude of sick people, of the blind, the withered, the waiting for the moving of the water. Wow. Sounds like a miracle being set up. Underlying great multitude. Just like our world today, the world needs Jesus today more than ever. They just don't realize it. The worst thing is to be sick and not even know it. But these folks, they did know it. So it says, for an angel, verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season. Underline that. A certain season. Don't miss your season. Stay close to God. You don't want to miss your season. You don't know. We know that the King of creation came down and saved us, already rescued us. But within that, don't miss the season that God has for you by being distracted by what the world is trying to offer you. Don't miss the season that God has for you by being distracted by what the world is trying to offer you. For an angel went down at a certain season, it doesn't happen all the time, but at a certain season, into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And like I said, I thank God we have the King of creation who came down already and saved and healed us. Amen. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait, but we can be distracted and miss it. And a certain man was there which had an illness 38 years. Oh, my gosh. 38 years. He didn't say he was 38 years old. He said he had that certain illness for 38 years. Amen. Think about that. And some of us, we take for granted our health. We can't remember the last day we had a day when we were sick. And then you have the other hand, some people who struggle with their health and they can't remember a day when they were well. Mm-hmm. Don't take anything for granted. Don't take anything for granted, especially your health. 38 years. Sometimes it takes a while to get your deliverance, to get your healing, to get set free. Sometimes it takes a while. You know, it's not the name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. I mean, that's not what this says. It says you might be waiting 38 years. And you might be sick and powerless for 38 years. Before God steps in. When do you give up on God? Amen. It's easy to say in church, but when we're sitting around and it's been a week. Man, God, you move. I got to do something, God. I'm going to have to take over, God. After a week, well, I'm going to give you a month. God, I'm going to give you a month. And if this ain't changed in a month, then I'm going to do my thing. When do you tell God, I'm going to step in? Or do you wait? Look at the scenario with Dickens. Verse 6. And when Jesus saw him lying there, make note of that. Jesus is looking at us right now. Jesus sees everything. He sees where I'm at. He sees where you're at. He sees where we're at. It's not like it's a surprise to him. It's not like it's unknown to him. It's not like it caught him off guard. Jesus saw him lying there. He saw you and I lying in our sleep last night. And look, it says, and he knew. God knows everything. Not only does he see us, but he knows everything that we're dealing with. Thank you, Lord. Don't feel like you're all alone. You're not. Don't feel like nobody understands. Nobody knows. God knows. He does know. He's looking at you and he knows. And he knows how long. He says he knew they had been now a long time in that situation. He knows how long you've been there. He knows how long you've been dealing with it. How long he had, a long time he had been in that case. And he said unto, here's the question. He said, do you want to be made whole? It says, wilt thou be made whole? But the translation, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be different? You have a choice. Do you want things to change? Do you want to get up? You've been having a pity party for 38 years. Do you want to get up? What are you willing to do for it to be different? You do have a choice. Stop lying to yourself saying, I don't have a choice. I was born like this. This is the way it is. What you see is what you get. That's a lie. Do you want to be made whole? Three things happen in the next verse. And I have to admit, when I first heard this almost 30 years ago, I felt sorry for this dude. So it's some pity, it's some understanding. He says, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. And while I'm coming down, somebody else just jumps in right before me. That's cold. So he finally gets his breakthrough time. He's like right there. Somebody jumps in. Oh, man. Gosh darn. I was almost there. It speaks to the meanness of people. Oh, I'm going to get mine. If I have to step over you, I'm going to get my healing. I'm not going to push you in. I'm going to pull you back, matter of fact, so I can get in. It can be heartless. We can be heartless sometimes. And then you could feel sorry for him. But then at the same time, he addressed Jesus as sir. He addressed him as Lord. He was very respectful. Even after 38 years in that condition, he could have been mad. He could have been going off. He could have cussed him out. You don't even know how long I've been here. You don't know what I've been dealing with. But even in this condition, he was not disrespectful. So I don't care what you're going through. There's no need for disrespect. There's no place for that. Now, maybe in his 39th year, he could have got disrespectful, right? But give it 38 years and then get disrespectful. All right. When you're in your 39th year of marriage, give me a call and say, I'm getting ready to go off. I waited 38 years. I've been dealing with this for 38 years. I'm not 39th year. I'm going. Give me a call then. But if you don't have 38 under your belt, don't call me complaining. Stay respectful and regardless of the condition. Stay respectful. Don't go off. Jesus asked that, do you want to be made whole? Then Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Make a note of that. We got to rise above the excuses. We got to rise above the condition. We have to rise above feeling sorry for ourselves. We got to rise above all that foolishness and we got to do what we need to do. And verse 9 says, immediately. It's because obedience brings the healing. Write that down. That's the revelation that obedience brings the breakthrough. Obedience brings the deliverance. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the what? The Sabbath. See, now we get back to the Sabbath. It's an issue with the Sabbath because nobody remembered it's the death penalty. That's the covenant with the Jews. Jesus hadn't been crucified yet. So we have the death penalty where you just broke the Sabbath. You did work on the Sabbath. Ain't that something? Look at verse. Look at verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, is it the Sabbath day? It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Isn't that something? It's always the religious folk trying to figure out. No, I remember when you. Hey, what you doing? I remember you. You can't tell me nothing because I remember when you were. And I remember how you grew up. And they always want to try and bring something up. This dude has been laying down for 38 years and he's healed. And they want to know why you carrying your bed, Manny, on the Sabbath day. That's all they want to know. What gives you the audacity to be healed today? Not, man, God's doing some great things in your life. I'm proud to see that you're making some strides. It's good to see what God can do. No, they want to get religious. Those religious folks. No relationship. It's all rules and rituals and you can't do this and you can't do that. And it's like Jesus, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Remember, he said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. He said that we have liberty. We've been free in Christ. They're still stuck on the covenant of old. And Jesus is trying to tell them he's the new covenant. Verse 12, then ask they him, what man is this which said unto thee, take up your bed and walk? And he that was healed, he didn't know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn himself away, a multitude being in that place. Remember, it was a great multitude. So Jesus healed him, and then Jesus just left. But look what happens now. And afterwards, Jesus found him at the temple and said unto him, behold, you're made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Oh, my God. Why he got it? He just could have left me healed. Why he got to tell me that? So it's possible that when they took him back and it triggered something where he started thinking about his past, what he was doing. Remember, he was there 38 years, but he wasn't 38 years old. And Jesus said, go and sin no more, as if the sin had caused him to be in that condition. So he's telling him, you got your healing. Now go and sin no more, lest you're going to have to deal with something worse than this. That's a tough one right there. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Remember, you work on the Sabbath. That's it. Wow, isn't that something? We can miss it sometimes. We can miss the blessing because we want to be so legalistic and so ritualistic. We can miss it in our marriage. We can miss it with our kids. We can miss it in church. We can miss it with our families. That's why we pray for discernment. Lord, show me what you're doing in their life. God, show me what's really going on here before I jump to conclusions and go against you, something that you're doing. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hereto, and I work. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus is God. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. Don't let anybody tell you that Jesus never claimed to be God. They knew exactly what he said. That's why they sought to kill him even more. Dude, you broke the Sabbath, plus you said you were God. It's time to die. But Jesus answered them, verse 17, my Father works today and I work too. Therefore, they sought the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. And thank God for the new covenant that's in his blood. 11:23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. The same night which he was betrayed, he was able to give thanks. I'm asked a brother to come up, Brother Clarence. And Brother Anthony, if you would come up and pass out the sacraments. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had drank, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Brothers, you can pass them out. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the New Testament, Lord. God's always had a covenant with his people. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the covenant. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Think about what the covenant means in your life. Yes. Mm.